Hello, it's Wednesday, August 25th, and this is the Tantrum Hour Report. You're tuned in to CHMA 106.9 FM in Sackville, New Brunswick. The CHMA studio is located in the traditional lands of the Mi'kmaq people, unceded in the Treaties of Peace and Friendship first signed with settlers in 1725. I'm Meg Cunningham. Here's what's coming up today. Keegan Hawthorne lets us witness the printing of broadsides, which will be sold to raise funds for the Tantramar Literary Society. There is a Pfizer walk-in vaccine clinic today at the Guardian drugstore, and more kids will be allowed to get the jab since the government now permits 11-year-olds who will turn 12 this year to be vaccinated. And the Progressive Conservatives and the People's Party have announced who from their parties will run against incumbent Beau Séjour Rep. Dominic LeBlanc, but there is no word from either the Green or NDP party. As mentioned, New Brunswick will now let kids who are 11 but will turn 12 this year to get the COVID-19 vaccine. Early Childhood Development Minister Dominique Carty says the decision was made to help support health and safe schools with the first day of classes just around the corner. This represents 2,832 more young people who can now get the shot. They will, much like all children under 19, only be allowed to receive the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine, since that's the only currently manufactured vaccine permitted for use in minors. Since the province bases its vaccine rates on the eligible population of New Brunswickers, it may appear that the vaccine rate is lower from here on out since the number of eligible people has increased. Although, unexpectedly, the province realized during a routine review that over 8,000 vaccinations were not recorded, of which around 7,800 were second doses. The province says the issue has been fixed, and those doses have been added to the COVID-19 dashboard online. Some places to grab a shot this week without an appointment includes the Guardian drugstore from 10 to 6:30 today, or this Friday at Parley Beach between 2 and 6. If you can't make either of those, there will be another walk-in clinic at the Tantramar Memorial Civic Center tomorrow. All of these clinics will be administering the Pfizer vaccine, so they are kid-friendly. The case count continues to climb across multiple health zones, but especially in this one, Zone 1. Zone 1 has 10 new cases, all of them under 50, and 4 of them under 20. Most of these are close contacts of previously reported cases, while 2 are travel-related and the other is giving public health a runaround. Zones 3 and 7 also discovered under 4 new cases each, all of which are contacts of previously reported cases. 3 people are now hospitalized due to COVID-19. The province did not clarify how old the patients are, whether or not they are vaccinated, or which health zones they are hospitalized in. Thankfully, none of them are in intensive care units. With less than 1 month to go before the federal election on September 20th, only 3 parties in Beau Séjour have announced who's running. So far, Beau Séjour constituents can choose between the incumbent candidate for the Liberal Party, Dominic LeBlanc, Shelley Mitchell from the Progressive Conservatives, or Jack Miner from the People's Party. Neither the NDP nor the Greens have made any indication of whose name will be on the Beau Séjour ballot. Bruce Wark from Wark Times is chasing down candidates for interviews, which we will broadcast on CHMA 106.9 FM. Stay tuned in the coming weeks to hear from your local candidates. Keegan Hawthorne is putting together 6 poetry broadsides donated by various poets from the area to raise money for the Tantramar Literary Society. While the Tantramar Literary Society is more of an unofficial collective of poets and writers in the area, Hawthorne says it's very much alive and looking to get more active in public now that New Brunswick is in the green phase.
So we're working on Amy's poem that's included in the Tantramar Literary Society's Summer Broadside Series fundraiser. And this is a fundraiser where there's 6 local poets who have contributed poems, and we're printing broadsides of each of the poems in an edition of 30, so 30 copies of each poem. And we're going to have a fundraiser and sell them, and the poems will be for sale individually, but also as a set. And the money will be split between Hardscrabble Press and the Literary Society, so that the Literary Society can have some money to pay poets to come and read.
The broadsides are being printed on Hawthorne's micropress, a large and heavy mechanical device that uses a hand crank to roll paper across inked letters, which he affectionately refers to as the Beast.
From something like 1927, I think, it's a flatbed proofing press, is what it's called. And so this would have been a machine that a newspaper would have used to print their newspaper on, or perhaps it would have been in a... It might have been in a sort of a commercial printing house where they would have used this machine to test the layout to make sure there were no spelling errors and everything before they took the type and put it into a more of a production machine. So that's why it's called a proofing press, because it was never intended to do thousands of impressions an hour. It was just where you proofed your type and then it would go off to the production room.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
The advantage of it is that it's flat, so the type sits flat on it. So it's easy to sort of move things around like we were doing this morning, changing the letters, taking out a period and putting in spacing. It was designed for that. And so if you're only ever printing, say, 30 copies, it's the right machine for the job. So what I'm going to do now is just run a bunch of... newsprint sheets, just so that when we get it set up with the other color, we can make sure that the registration is correct.
The press sits in Hawthorne's living room, surrounded by filing cabinets full of swords, or lead-based metal letter type, and various broadsides pinned to the walls. Funnily enough, the very sort of press Hawthorne uses is responsible for popular phrases such as out of sorts or mind your P's and Q's.
Printing has lots of really great terminology. Each of these is called a sort. Each letter is individual sort. And that's where the expression out of sorts comes from. If you're out of sorts, it means you run out of letters and you can't finish your job. So you're really
that's
upset.
Awesome. I like that.
And also mind your P's and Q's. Comes from that, because when you look at a letter, so this is the letter, and when you're holding them and looking at them, they're actually it's upside down and backwards.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're trying to identify, like to look between a P and a Q, you have to remember it. If it looks like a P, it's actually a Q, and if it looks like a Q, it's actually a P.
The poet visiting Hawthorne's workshop is Amy Ward, who donated her poem Echo to the Broadside fundraiser before moving from Sackville to Guelph for her master's degree.
I live in Nova Scotia, but I did my degree here, so I lived here for 5 years. And then when the border closed last December, November, I went home with all of my stuff, and it was very sad. I couldn't really, have a goodbye to Sackville very much, and I have some friends here still. So I've been, waiting for the border to open, and then it finally did in, July or June or whatever it was. So I wrote this poem kind of, when I came back, and I was looking at the dikes and the windmills and just enjoying all of the scenery that I hadn't seen for a while, and thinking about, how, I've lived here for 5 years and how being in this place has really shaped a lot of myself and how I think and how I see the world. So it's kind of a little tribute to Sackville, this special place in my heart. But I'm more of a philosopher, I think. That's what my degree is in. And so there's philosophy of language stuff. And it just makes you think a lot about how you use words and what you're portraying with the words and what it gets other people to think about. So my mind's already kind of thinking about that kind of stuff when I do philosophy. So it translates really easy to poetry, because same kind of thing. You're trying to be really concise and particular with your words to make sure you're creating some sort of experience for the person reading it. And some of my favorite philosophers are also poets, so there's deep connections there. But mostly I like being creative. I just like to write about things that happen to me or the things that I'm thinking about. And I used to keep a journal all the time where I just write out the things that I was thinking about or what I was doing. And now I write poetry instead of a journal. So it's kind of a poetry journal. So it's kind of a more creative way to look at the things that happen to me.
Other local poets who donated their work include Jordy Miller, Marilyn Lurch, Shoshana Wingate, Kayla Geitzler, and Keegan himself. He says that the old printing press is part of the poetic process, and he is happy to provide that service.
I think what drives me with the press is that I think how you encounter something matters, and how you encounter a poem is going to be different if it's printed on a really crappy paper in a photocopier, or if it's printed on really nice, beautiful handmade rag paper with the letterpress impression. And so I just want, my vision for the press is to be able to continue exploring that aesthetic with poetry. So with poems written by people I know, and also poems sort of from the tradition, poems that I love, I would like to continue exploring. This idea that when the rhapsodes who would sing the Homeric songs, Homer's poems, the idea was that they actually were Homer, you know? When they sang that poem, they were the embodiment of the poet, Homer, whichever poet it was. And so I kind of like to think of books as in that same way, where they are the sort of what is singing the poems to you. And so they sort of take the place of the author in that moment. The physical object takes the place of the author. And so it's nice to honor that and make that presence as beautiful a thing as possible. Stay tuned for the launch of the summer Broadside series, which will be coming up in late September or October.
That's all for the Tantramar Report today. Get in touch with any leads, tips, or feedback at news@chmafm.com. I'm Meg Cunningham. Thank you for listening.